So I'm sitting on that balcony, so hungry to hear the voice of God. I believed it was possible, but I really didn't know what to expect. Was there going to be this big booming voice from heaven? Was I going to be like the prophet, sitting there experiencing fires and whirlwinds and floods and not hearing anything in those happenings? I really had no idea, but I was doing what I had been instructed to do. I sat there quietly, praying, asking God questions, waiting for a vision or waiting to hear some voice in my head. I had my journal ready to go, and so I sat there for hours, and nothing happened. But then, God showed up. Welcome to the Christian Life Podcast. I'm Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number 5, Hearing God's Voice. Honestly, hearing God's voice is a topic that I tend to take for granted. It's something I talk about a lot in my writing on the blog or in the podcast, or especially when I'm preaching. Even for our ministry, Sozo Ministries, our first policy rule in our principles and practices manual is listen to God and do what He says. And so the truth is, I take it for granted that everyone understands what it means to hear God's voice and how to do that. And so what I want to do in today's podcast is really lay a foundation for whether or not biblically we should expect to hear God's voice, or if that was a gift relegated to the past and that it's not something necessary for us today. Now, right off the bat, you know my opinion on this, but I want to look at it scripturally and try to lay some foundation. Then in the next episode, we're going to go a little bit deeper, and we're going to talk about the biblical ways a person can hear God's voice, and we're going to talk about how you can grow in discernment as you step out and try to listen to Him. So I hope you join with me on this adventure as we discuss hearing His voice. The first thing we need to talk about is whether or not Christians today should expect to hear God's voice for themselves. Now, I've been around the church for about 18 years, 19 years, and I've found that historically, in the recent past, there are three categories in which people fit regarding the Holy Spirit and hearing Him speak and Him doing the miraculous. The first viewpoint is that they simply deny that God still speaks. This is a form of theology called cessationism. Cessationism argues that the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit ended sometime around the completion of the Bible. Sometimes they say it was with the death of the last apostle. Some say it was at the end of the apostolic age when the great persecution arose. But basically, they say that since we have the Bible, and the Bible is God's complete revelation, it's the final word, then He doesn't add any new revelation today. So that means that when God finished the Bible, He stopped personally speaking to human beings because we have His word complete in the Scriptures. So this first group of cessationists do not believe that God speaks. What that means is they then don't listen. They don't expect Him to speak. The second viewpoint is typically called continuationism. Now, from what I've seen, and this is strictly an observation, I don't have numbers to back it up, but from what I've seen, this seems to be the view of most modern Christians and most modern church ministries. Although there's a level at which they see it differently, these people do believe that God still speaks and that He speaks to everybody. It's not just a gift for prophets or vision seers and those sort of things, but God speaks to every one of His children in some capacity. Now, this is the category that I fall into, but I obviously believe that God speaks daily, regularly to all believers, where I have friends who believe in the continuation of spiritual gifts and of hearing God's voice, and yet they would disagree with how often and how regularly I expect God to speak to His children. But because these people believe God still speaks, they do listen to Him. Finally, there's a third viewpoint, and this is where it gets a little bit tricky. I'm calling it functional cessationism, although there are probably some different theological terms for it. But this is the view of many people who acknowledge with their mouth that God still speaks. They say they believe that, and yet functionally, the way they live their lives, there's no expectation that he's going to speak to them. And so as you watch their ministry operate or you watch their prayer life operate, there's no expectation that God's going to speak to them. And so even though they might have a better theology on paper or in the way they talk, it doesn't translate to their lifestyle. These people believe that God speaks, but they do not listen. Now, sometimes this is a lack of understanding of how to hear him speaking, which is what we're going to address in this episode and the next. Sometimes, however, it's not a lack of understanding. It's simply a lack of priority for God's direct leading in their life. I can't correct that with a podcast. All we can do here is lay the foundation, but that's an issue that needs corrected in the heart. Now, I do understand that probably you, my listeners, fall on a very broad range of these three categories. Some of you who are close friends of mine are hardcore cessationists. You do not believe that the gifts are for today, and so you don't believe God speaks. I still encourage you to listen, because even if you don't think they're for today, we're going to lay a foundation of understanding what the gifts are biblically, which might help you in some historical exegesis, even if you don't stretch to practical application today. Then again, I hope to change your mind. For those of you who are continuationists like me, I hope to encourage you to listen more often and expect with a hunger, with a desire for God to speak to you daily. And then for that third category, the functional cessationists, you already have the right theology, and so I hope I can encourage you to tune in a little more, put your focus back on God, and expect him to speak to you the way you say you expect him to speak to all of his people. The next thing I want to look at is the what we would call the revelatory gifts of Scripture. I am going to get to my story and how I learned to hear God's voice in just a minute, but before we do that, I want you to understand that there are different ways in Scripture that people hear God speaking. Because when I was first a Christian, I didn't think the average believer could hear God's voice. I thought that's for the great prophets of old, that's for the Bible writers, maybe that's for the high gifted pastors and Christian leaders today. Even before I was taught cessationism, I didn't think that me as just a normal Christian would be able to hear God's voice. But then I began to discover that there are different giftings in the Scripture about how to hear God's voice. And so I want to take a look at just a few of them. We would call these the revelatory gifts of the New Testament. Now, the Bible says that these gifts are given by God for personal ministry within the church. Now, I want you to notice that all of these gifts are hearing God's voice. And many of them function in the same ways. That's what we're going to talk about in the next episode. But they all seem to have distinct purposes for which they are used. Now, obviously, the first great hearing gift is the gift of prophecy. Now, the Bible talks about the gift of prophecy generally being hearing God's voice on behalf of someone else. The Bible does tell us that in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, that the purpose of prophecy is to build people up, to encourage them, and to comfort or to console them. So no matter how prophecy plays out at a minimum, we would generally say that all prophecy is intended to lead people closer to Jesus and closer into his ways. Even in the Old Testament, the big judgment passages by all the prophets were about reconciling people to God. The prophets were trying to pull people back. The threat of judgment was hoping to lead them to repentance. The other thing I will say about prophecy, that obviously we believe the Bible is the Word of God, we have to understand that prophecy is always going to agree with Scripture. We're never going to have a prophet give a legitimate, Holy Spirit-led prophecy that leads us in sin or to contradict the Bible. Obviously, one of the primary examples of this that I've heard pastors use over the years is, you know, the Bible says divorce is a sin, And yet people say, oh, I went to the prophet and the prophet told me I married the wrong person. I'm to divorce my wife and marry this girl of my dreams. Prophecy can never override the Bible. Okay, the Bible, even though I might argue that it's not God's complete revelation, he's still revealing new things, it is the standard of God's revelation, and it is the complete authority of revelation. So even if God speaks something new today, it cannot supersede the Bible. It cannot rewrite or overwrite the Bible. And so the Apostle Paul, when he talks about the prophetic gifting, he places this as, he seems to place it as the highest of spiritual gifts. Now, a lot of, you know, Pentecostal and charismatic churches want to put speaking in tongues at the top of the list. But in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, Paul says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, that word desire means to burn for, to pursue with a passion. Honestly, the best translation in the English, if you'll forgive me for saying it, would be the word lust, to lust after. This burning passion that you can't shut down. It wants to consume you. It feels like it's going to overtake you. He's saying you should have that kind of a burning passion for the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Now, again, I think that's very interesting, because if we just say that Jesus assigns the gift and we don't have a say in the gifts we get, how could he instruct us to desire prophecy more than other gifts? We'll come back to that at a later time. The second revelatory gift in the Bible is called the word of wisdom. A word of wisdom, it's one of the nine gifts that the Apostle Paul talks about in his letter to the Corinthians. It's not talking about natural wisdom. I would define it this way. A word of wisdom is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you with specific instructions pertaining to a specific time and place. This gift could come into use like, if you're ministering to someone who's under deep stress, okay, maybe they have some crazy personal situation in their life they're going through and they just need to know what to do. And as they're asking your guidance how to handle things, we have to do more than just give them advice. Human advice doesn't solve spiritual problems. And so this gift is when the Holy Spirit starts speaking through us to tell that person exactly how to handle the situation. That's going to lead to peace, that's going to lead to a good outcome, a godly outcome. A word of wisdom could also be God instructing you what to do in a ministry situation where you're ministering to other people. It may not be giving them instructions for what to go and do after the ministry, but he could be showing you what to do during ministry. This is one of the things that I experience quite often through pictures, through visions. Is when I'm getting ready to preach and I start praying, God, how do I need to minister to people? What do you want me to do tonight? A lot of times God gives me mental pictures that would be classified as a word of wisdom, showing me how to minister, how to lay hands, how to pray, what to do in those ways. Now, I use it in the pulpit ministry, but the same could be true in your personal life. It could be true for your job or anything else. God can give you a word of wisdom on what to do in your day, in your current situation, or to guide other people. But that's the gift of word of wisdom. The third revelatory gift of Scripture is the word of knowledge. Now, if wisdom tends toward God giving instructions, then the word of knowledge would simply be God revealing information. This is when you simply know something that you shouldn't know, okay? Most often in my ministry, words of knowledge come in praying for healing. Usually if I'm going to pray for healing in the pulpit, I'll ask God to give me words of knowledge and he will show me different sicknesses and diseases that are in the church or in the conference or in the crusade and tell me what he wants to heal. I will then call out those things that God says he wants to heal this disease. If you have this disease, come forward. There's a much higher percentage of healings of those issues whenever there's a word of knowledge, than it is for when I'm just praying for the sick out of love. You know, if God gives a word of knowledge for back pain, I'm going to see a lot more people healed of back pain than if I just think I want to pray for people with back pain today. Again, words of knowledge, they do play prominently in my pulpit ministry, but they can come in so many other ways, right? Like maybe you're ministering to someone who's simply not forthcoming with what they need ministry for. They're keeping secrets from you, right? Like in love, the Holy Spirit can use this gift to reveal an underlying problem to you so that you can minister to them appropriately. Other instances might be when God leads you to a certain place. We've heard of different people, you know, saying, well, I was walking and I heard God say, turn left, and I went down that street to the left, and then God said, turn left again, and I went, and then there's a house, and God told me, stop and knock on the door. You know, all of these things, like that's word of knowledge. It's when God reveals a certain person to you that you need to minister to. We're going to talk about a practice called treasure hunting in the next episode. This is where you seek God for words of knowledge about a specific person he wants to minister to. Then you go find that person and pray for them. Now, anytime we receive a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, it should give us boldness to speak, giving us confidence that God wants to use us in those situations. So, those three things alone are revelatory gifts of Scripture. But what I would argue is there's actually a fourth, I don't even know if we would call it a spiritual gift, but there's a fourth category of hearing God's voice that goes beyond prophecy or word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Those things are spiritual gifts for ministering to other people. But in the Bible, there is also a general hearing that all Christians are supposed to be walking in. This is the category that I fall into. I am not a prophet. That's not my calling. Occasionally, God might give me a prophecy to speak to somebody else, but I'm not a prophet. God might give me words of knowledge and words of wisdom whenever I'm ministering to other people, but those are not primary to my relationship with Him personally when I'm in the secret place. This fourth category, I believe, is what Jesus talks about in John 10:27, when He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me." I know them. That's a term of intimacy. I believe this goes back to in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus says, when you pray, don't pray to be seen by men, but go into the secret place, close the door, and have intimacy with the Lord in private. Then He will reward you openly. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice." In general, this seems to be an expectation that all believers will hear God speaking. Even if you're a cessationist that you say prophecy ended with the Bible, words of knowledge ended, words of wisdom ended with the first apostles, all of those things, you cannot escape that Jesus didn't say, "My apostles hear My voice." He said, "My sheep." He went on to say in John 16:12-15, that He had so much that He still wanted to tell His people that it was going to have to wait. It would come through the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit's job was going to be to speak to believers, teaching them God's truth, and revealing everything Jesus still had to say. The Holy Spirit would be the one to declare what God wants to say. God's plan is that the Holy Spirit would be our daily guide in how we live our lives as Christians. And so even if you would say, "I'm not a prophet, I don't have words of knowledge, I don't have words of wisdom," God's never done that. The Bible expects all believers to be hearing God's voice. Jesus Himself said it. There's a great book by Dr. John Ruthven called What's Wrong with Protestant Theology. And the point he argues in that book is that out of all of the good theology coming out of the Catholic Church, the one problem the Reformers had was they lost the personal voice of God for believers today. They wrote out the idea that Christians could still hear the voice of God, and it's caused major problems within all Protestant denominations. I'll put a link to that book in the show notes so that you can check it out if you want to, but I would just caution you, it is a very scholarly written book, and so if you don't like scholarly, highly theological books, it may not be the book for you. The last thing I want to touch on in this episode is kind of my own journey into hearing God, because it's one thing to talk about the way the Bible talks about gifts and expectations. It's even okay for me to be sharing my personal experiences and discussing how these gifts operate in my pulpit ministry. But I want to give you a picture of how I came into hearing God so that you kind of understand the background of where I'm coming from. Again, you know that I attended a fundamentalist independent Baptist college that completely believed in cessationism. I was not raised believing you could hear God's voice. My church experience didn't teach me that you could hear God's voice. I thought those things were for the super spiritual people, and then eventually I thought those things had ceased. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life, I knew there was something missing, because I knew the Holy Spirit was supposed to be guiding us and speaking to us, teaching us how to follow Jesus, showing us what He wants us to do, what He wants us to say, how He wants us to minister. I knew all of those things in theory, but I wasn't experiencing it in my life. And so back in 2012, I was living in Haiti. I was house-sitting for some missionaries who had gone home on furlough for 6 months, I believe it was. I'm living in their house, taking care of it. I did not speak Creole at the time, and so when my translator would go home around 4 or 5 every day, I was alone, and I couldn't talk to anybody. And so I remember going and sitting on the balcony of this house and praying, "God, You're the only person I have to talk to, and I believe I'm supposed to hear Your voice, but I don't know how to do that. Would You teach me to hear Your voice?" And it was a long journey. It went on for a few months, but one of the things that I did in that time was I heard a book recommendation about this book called 4 Keys to Hearing God's Voice by a man named Mark Verkler. I didn't know anything about Verkler at the time. I had never heard of this book at the time, but I ended up reading the book. I ended up watching a YouTube video where he explained the book first. And the premise of that book comes from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. I'll talk about that in just a minute, but I will throw the link to that book in the show notes as well, because this is a book I do think many of you would benefit from reading in our ministry's leadership institute, our leadership development course. This book is actually required reading for our leaders if they're going to take leadership roles within our ministry. But what Verkler talked about is hearing God's voice isn't supposed to be so complex that nobody knows how to do it. And he takes 4 principles from Habakkuk. Now, if you know the story of Habakkuk, he's a prophet. He's living in the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel, the northern kingdom, has already been conquered and destroyed by the Assyrian army. And now it looks like the Babylonians, Habakkuk calls them the Chaldeans, are going to conquer the Assyrians, and Judah's going to get swept up in the mix. And so in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, we're actually seeing his prayer journal. And he starts complaining to God. In chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, Habakkuk cries out that wicked leaders are oppressing the righteous remnant who are living in Judah. This isn't how things are supposed to work. The righteous are supposed to prosper, the wicked are supposed to suffer, but that's not what's happening. So Habakkuk's simply asking God why. But what we then read in verses 5 to 11 is that God replies to Habakkuk. He basically says, "You're complaining about the wicked, but that he is actually raising up the Babylonians not only to punish the unrighteous Assyrians, but also the unrighteousness among the Jews." Okay? Habakkuk sets down, he asks God a question, God replies. In verse 12 through the rest of chapter 1, Habakkuk is questioning the Lord again. because he's not happy with God's answer. I'm not going to take the time to fully explain everything, but basically he wants to know, how is it that God's going to allow the righteous people in Judah to be swept up in a judgment on the wicked? Then you come to chapter 2, and Habakkuk's been crying to God, and then he says this in verses 1 and 2. Here's what Habakkuk says. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me, and I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. And so what Mark Verkler does in this book, I'll do it very quickly, is he gives us four keys from Habakkuk to hearing God's voice. Habakkuk wants to hear from the Lord. So he says, I'm going to take my stand at the watchpost. Verkler says all he's saying is, I'm going to get in position to hear from God. I'm going to get still. I'm going to get quiet. I'm going to get alone. He says, I will look out to see what the Lord will say to me. So Verkler says you've got to fix your eyes on Jesus and pay attention to vision, because sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks through vision. So fix your eyes on the spiritual realm and see if Jesus is going to show you a picture. Habakkuk says, I will see what he will say to me. This is the listening part. There are two types of prophets in the Old Testament. One is called a prophet, one is called a seer. Later, Samuel ties the two of these together. He says what was formerly called a seer is now called a prophet. But there, it's two general ways of hearing God, either hearing or seeing visions. And so you fix your eyes on Jesus and wait for visions, but you also listen for that inner voice, that still small voice of God speaking. Verkler says you tune to spontaneity. The word for prophecy in the Old Testament for prophet is nabi, which means it comes from a root meaning to bubble up, that these thoughts bubble up spontaneously, as opposed to the false prophets, who the word it uses for them means to boil up or to cook up. You're cooking up your own prophecy. So the voice of God spontaneously comes up. And then the Lord answered him and said, write the vision down. And so Verkler says the fourth key is, write down the flow of thoughts that come to your mind and the pictures that come into your head, and then respond to the Lord. Ask him, what does this mean? Show me more. And you enter into this conversation with God. Now, I was sitting on a rooftop in Haiti. I had read this. I had watched some YouTube videos of Verkler teaching this thing. And so I decided, God, I want to hear your voice. I'm not leaving this rooftop until you speak. Now, that's a big challenge when the sun's going down, mosquitoes are coming out, and you've had a long day, you're tired, and you know, tomorrow we're going to get up, we're going to do it all over again. I was determined not to give up, though, and so I did what Verkler recommended. I got a journal out, a little Moleskine journal that I had been doing like daily logs, like just writing down what had happened in the day or scripture thoughts and those things. And I wrote God a question at the top of the page. I honestly don't remember what that first question was, but I wrote God a question and I sat there and I listened, and hours went by and I didn't hear anything. I didn't know what I was supposed to be hearing. I didn't know how to process visions, like is it my imagination or not? But as time went on, the Lord actually began speaking things to me. Scriptures started coming to mind, answers started coming to mind, so I wrote it all down. In that first week, I started asking God questions every day, writing down the answer. Now, the truth is, if I go back and look at that journal today, I missed God on some of the things I was writing. But it was giving me some clarity. One of the things I ask God is, how can I know when it's your voice or when it's my own imagination or when it's the voice of the devil? And I'm going to share more on this in the next episode. We're going to talk about practicing discernment. But God gave me something very personal, very kind and loving, and I don't think he does this with everyone, but again, I'm sharing what the Lord said to me. He told me, Scott, listen for the I love you. Because in my own imagination, I don't tell myself I love you very often. That comes from external. That thought doesn't enter my head. And so from then on, for the next, I don't know, year and a half or 2 years at least, every time the Lord would speak to me and I knew it was Him, He would start by saying, "Scott, I love you, and here's what I want to say to you today." And He would tell me whatever it was. I sat with that prayer journal every day, night after night, practicing hearing God's voice. It was difficult. Sometimes it took time, but now, 8 years later, almost 9 years later, I can tell you this habit of prayer journaling, of what Mark Verkler calls two-way journaling, is a daily habit if I can get to it every day. If it's possible for me to get there, I am prayer journaling every day. I've filled up, I don't know how many moleskins, how many notebooks of journals, and now I've moved online and I use a journaling app called Day One, where I keep my prayer journal now. I've even gone back. I've been slowly adding the pictures of those old prayer journal posts into that so that I have a full record. I have almost 9 years of conversations with God of things He's told me, ways He's encouraged me, what He spoke to me about marrying Liz before we got married, what He spoke to me about becoming a father to Marley, what He spoke about my other children, what He spoke to me about opening Sozo Ministries when I left the other ministry I was working with. What I want you to understand is that God wants relationship with us. And in my own journey, I found this tool, these four keys. Now listen, I know keys aren't necessarily like biblical mandates. Do you have to have a prayer journal? No. Do you have to do it this way? No, of course not. But this is a method that I learned that has helped me to hear God's voice. And I am 100% convinced today that God wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to all of His children. He wants to have relationship. And listen to me, I'm telling you, I'm convinced of that more than I'm convinced of anything else scripturally. Jesus died to have relationship with us, to reconcile us to God so that we could be children, so that we could be the bride, so that we could be the family of God. Those are relational terms, and I'm convinced that what God was doing was opening the way for us to hear from Him, to speak to Him, and have intimate relationship. In the next episode, we're going to talk more about biblical ways to hear God's voice. We've already laid the foundation of the revelatory gifts, but what I want to do in the next episode is I want to talk about specific ways even those with the revelatory gifts received from the Lord, because there are different ways that God spoke throughout the Bible and even throughout church history. You know, it could be a prophetic move when God was writing on the wall or when He was speaking through the donkey, right? Like, these are biblical ways people heard from God. In the next episode, we're going to talk about specific ways you can hear from God biblically. And then we're going to talk about how you can practice, how you can step out and learn to hear His voice, and how you can grow in discernment, because I'm convinced God wants this for you. What I'm hoping this episode has accomplished is to put a hunger in you to hear His voice, because if you will get that hunger, your life will be transformed in ways you can never imagine, and your relationship with Jesus will go deeper than you ever thought it could this side of eternity. So I just want to close out by praying for you, and then make sure you tune in to the next episode in a couple of weeks when we talk more about how you can hear the voice of God. So Holy Spirit, I pray for everyone listening right now that You would come in and do what You do and speak to them. Holy Spirit, You came to reveal Jesus. You came to remind us of everything He spoke and to reveal everything He still wants to speak. Lord, You said that Your sheep would hear Your voice, and so I pray for those listening to this episode right now, that You would speak to them, that they would clearly hear You, that they would grow in hearing You and discerning when You're speaking as You give them instruction and wisdom and knowledge, and Lord, as You build that intimate relationship with them. So I bless everyone listening right now, and Lord, I just say thank You in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, that wraps up episode 5. Thank you for listening to the Christian Life Podcast. If you'd like to give feedback on the show, you can leave me a voice message at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. You can also support the show there, help keep this ministry going. Specifically, I would love to hear from you. If you have a testimony of learning to hear God's voice, I would love to hear that. If the story is a good one to share and you give me permission to share it, I might put you on a future episode of the show, but I'd love to hear your testimonies there. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through my website, anthonyingram.com. You can also find me on Facebook and Instagram and social media at Ingram Writer. If you've enjoyed the show, you want to hear more, please subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you use for listening. It would also be a great help to me if you would leave me a review on whatever that platform is. That's how podcasts go up in the ranking. If you've been blessed by this episode, please share it with your friends. That would really help me out a lot. You can find out the full list of where the show is available at anthonyingram.com/podcast. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm Scott Ingram, and until next time, may God bless you.